A&M travels to Nebraska for a huge series this weekend. Texas A&M is ranked as high as number 5 in the country, just like the Cornhuskers. In the various polls that are out there, I like to use the National Collegiate Baseball Writers poll that has Texas A&M number 6. And the Nebraska Cornhuskers are going to come into that poll. Ranked number 7, but a great matchup this weekend up in Lincoln. Expect crowds in excess of 8,000 in all three games, and just a terrific venue for college baseball and a chance for the Big 12 to perform at the highest stage. These two teams lead the league, first and second place, as Texas A&M 18-3, winners of 15 straight Big 12 conference games, takes on the Nebraska Cornhuskers. They're 15-5-1 in the league. Texas A&M can clinch a tie for the league championship with a series victory, 2-1 over the Huskers. They can also sweep out and win the conference outright. That would give neither Nebraska nor Oklahoma State, who is currently in third place, an opportunity to catch Texas A&M from behind. The Aggies and the Huskers are going to come at 6:30, 2:05, and 1:05. The 2:05 game is going to be shown on CBS College Sports tape delay. That'll be Sunday during the third game, so hopefully you'll get a chance to tape that and watch it at your leisure. Texas A&M is the team that brings in the better offense. Defense between these two teams is pretty much a wash, as they field above 970. And then you talk about pitching-wise, whereas both teams are going to feature some very, very good pitchers, very, very good bullpens. It's experience against youth, and that's going to be a big factor in this ballgame. Let's take a look at the Nebraska offense against the Aggie pitching staff. Texas A&M did catch a little bit of a break, as Craig Corson, who is a senior first baseman, is out for this series. He had knee surgery last week and will not be able to play. He's been replaced in the lineup by Tyler Farst. Tyler Farst hitting .206 with just 5 RBIs. You look at Cortison, who was 323, 4 home runs, and 28 RBIs, so you can see how that definitely plays into A&M's favor. Mitch Abeda is the top hitter for Nebraska. He is the heart and soul of this team, not only at the plate, but behind it, as he's their catcher. And he is somebody that A&M is going to make sure that they are very, very careful when they pitch to him. Nick Sullivan, left fielder, is another key to them. He is going to be a 330 hitter with 3 home runs, 30 RBIs. Jake Opitz, the second baseman, 313, 6 home runs, 40 RBIs. Home run total 6, second on the team to Abeda, and then he leads them with the RBI total there. Also, DJ Belafonte, even though his average is down a little bit at 260, 1 home run and a very respectable 34 RBIs for the right fielder. You look at A&M. They're going to run out pitchers just like they always do. Brooks Raley, Barrett Laux, Clayton Ellert, against that offense that Nebraska is going to play. And that's where the interesting factor of the intangibles in this ballgame are going to play in. This is going to be a playoff atmosphere. This is going to be the first time that Raley, Laux have seen that kind of atmosphere. Clayton Ellert on Sunday, he's pitched in the Big 12 tournament. He's seen what regional play is like, and he has also seen what super regional play is like. That's going to have that kind of atmosphere this weekend with the teams going for the championship up there in Nebraska. Raley and Laux, on the other hand, freshmen put in the big stage for the first time in their careers. Now, they're going to see a lineup against Nebraska that is not nearly the fearsome lineup that you've seen from Nebraska in the past. You look at what their numbers are on the season, 284 batting average, 25 home runs, 267 RBIs in 45 games. That's a long time removed from the bash teams that you saw up in Nebraska when Dave Van Horn and Rob Childress were there with Coach Anderson, but it's also come down a little bit since that time. You look at them in conference, only a .271 batting average, just 14 home runs in the 21 games they've played so far, and they're averaging a little bit more than 5 runs a game offensively. For their offense there, you look again, Abeda, Opitz, and Nimmo will be the only three batters in the lineup that hit over 333, over 300 in conference play. And that's where Cortison, who was a 329 hitter in conference play, him being out of the lineup really hurts him. He was tied for the lead in home runs and in RBIs before having the knee surgery. Rayleigh, the left-hander, is going to see some of the, a couple left-handers in the lineup. Opitz, Sullivan, they're both going to bat from the left side. Also, Belafonte, who I mentioned earlier, bats from the left side. So he will have an advantage against some of those guys. But Obeda is just a big, strong right-handed hitter, and that'll be a key matchup. On Saturday, Laux matches up well with them. They're a team that does strike out more than they walk. They've got 133 strikeouts in league play, and they've walked just 75 times, so that's a pretty good number. Then on the season, 253 strikeouts to 167 walks. So they're a swing-and-miss kind of team, and with Barrett Laux, with the kind of stuff he has, that'll play very, very well. Clayton Elwood on Sunday, what can you say about Clayton this last week? Just was terrific against Dallas Baptist, and he continues to show that a big bounce back after a rough start to the season. Elwood's ability to keep the ball low and make the defense play behind him has been a key for the Aggies, as the defensive resurgence really has helped Texas A&M and the pitching staff, and he's one of the prime beneficiaries since he is a ground ball strikeout pitcher more than he is a fly ball pitcher. In the bullpen, Kyle Thibault, Travis Starling continue to perform at a very high level. Now, there was some concern about Starling this last weekend after a bad ninth inning against Sam Houston State, but looking back at that ball game, he made the pitches to get out of the game, a slow ground ball on a wet field. Really a chopper at third baseman that would have been the ending, the third out of the inning. And A&M would not have had any damage against him in that inning. He made the pitches he needed to make there before Sam Houston got on a bit of a roll as the ninth inning went along. But Kyle Thibault, the best ERA in the league, 1.67. He has just been dominant. The walk total has come down, and he had his first walk, I guess, in about nine games when he was pitching against Dallas Baptist this last week. So just a terrific season continues for Kyle Thibault, and I think that you've seen Hank Robertson put in position where the coaches have been very happy with what he's been able to do. So a good matchup between the Aggie pitching staff and the offense of Nebraska. I think that, if you can keep the crowd from affecting Rayleigh and Laux in the first 2 days when they pitch in a college playoff, NCAA tournament-type atmosphere, they'll do very, very well.